You hear all of that, Sally?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay.
We did, too.
Okay, well, I guess it goes out over all the lines. So thank everyone for participating this morning. Sally, would you please call the roll?
Okay, the way we decided to call the roll this time, since it was so, we were trying to get organized last time, so what we're going to do is, I'm going to call it in alphabetical order, so, and only the committee members, like if you have extra people that are there that are not on the committee, they don't have to call in, but just the committee members, because I've got a database that includes all the committee members on it. So I'm going to start with the A's. All right, how about the B's?
Oh, you're not going to call their name? I thought you were going to call their name.
But do you want me to call their name?
Yeah, that'd be the best thing.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay, Paul Abel.
I'm on.
Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Missy Baxley.
Present.
Debbie Bowling.
I'm present.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey.
Ann Brantley.
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Richard Burleson.
I'm here.
Hey, Richard. Dr. Calvert.
I'm here.
Thank you. Valerie Cochran.
I'm here.
Hi, Valerie. Mr. Cohen. J.W. Cohen. Glenn Davis.
Yes.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey.
Nancy Dowdle. George Ditchcock.
Duchok, I'm here.
Duchok, did I say it wrong? I'll get it right from now on, I promise. Jim Easter.
Easter's here.
Nikki Eddings.
Good morning.
Hey, Nikki.
What was the last name again?
Renetta Ellison. Renetta Ellison. Charles, or Carter English. Kyle Estridge. Dr. Espel.
I made it this morning.
Oh, good. You didn't have any problems calling in this time?
Not this time.
Good deal.
Could you repeat that name, please?
Yeah, it's Parker Estevol. Do you have the database now?
The database is not in any kind of order.
I've got it in order, Naya, that I just sent it to you, and I'll make sure you get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it in order, Naya, and I'm checking off as people call in, so I'll share mine with you.
Okay, thank you.
John Fisher.
Here.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Mr. Alvin Fox. Tina Givens. Dr. Granger.
I'm here this time.
Oh, good. You didn't have problems either.
Nope, no problems.
Don Green.
I'm here, Sally.
Hey, Don. Jimmy Hall. John Hankins. Jessica Hardy.
I'm here, Sally.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
Dr. Hathaway.
Present.
I knew you'd be here. Sarah Hallman.
I'm here, Sally.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Rhonda Hood. Dane Howard. Lisa Hudley. Adele Hutchins. Jim Isabel.
Here.
Hey, Jim.
Morning.
Rebel Jackson. Virginia John. Elizabeth Johnson.
Present.
Liz, I'm glad you got the number and everything. We got it all fixed.
Yeah, got it fixed.
Dr. Jones. Mike Jordan, Betty Jowers.
Good morning, Sally.
Hey, Betty. Dr. Kazi. Aquanetta Knight.
I'm here.
Hey, Aquanetta.
Hey.
Monica Knight. Dr. Landers.
I'm here, Sally.
Hey, Dr. Landers.
How are you?
Doing fine. Cindy Lessinger. Vanessa Martin.
Present.
Thank you, Vanessa. Sharon Massengale. Dr. Miller. Here it is, Karen. Somebody needs a number with a conference call. I apologize. Derek Morrison.
I'm here.
Okay. Andy Mullins. Sandra Nassetta. I know you're on there, Sandra.
I'm here, Sally.
Linda Olivet.
Here, Sally.
Hey, Linda.
Hey there.
Chris Parker.
I'm here.
Hey. Renee Patterson. Tina Pippin.
Here.
Thanks, Tina. Teresa Porter.
Good morning, Sally.
Good morning. Dr. Powers. Bill Pruitt. Jane Reeves.
Here.
Dr. Reed.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Eileen Rogers.
Here.
Hey, Eileen. Joel Rogers.
Here.
And I'm here. Louise Sandridge, she wasn't going to be here at the APIC meeting. And y'all, I apologize if we overlapped with the law enforcement summit and also the APIC meeting, but the way if it's going to be scheduled, we're going to miss some sometimes. Angela Stanley. Kelly Stevens. Robbie Stubbs. Karen Sullivan.
I'm here, Sally.
Hey, Karen. Carl Taylor.
I'm here, Sally, but David Wallace is not going to be able to join us this morning. He's covering another meeting with some folks from Mississippi.
Okay, that's great. Carl, did you hear where they were saying that we could send the recording and that y'all could listen to it again?
Yeah, you bet. That's a great idea.
Charles Thomas. Charlie. Sharon Thompson. She's not going to be here. Melissa Tucker. Melissa Tucker. I thought I heard her a little while ago. Roy Waite.
I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Roy. David's not going to be here. Maureen West. I need Dr. White's not going to be here. Dr. Williams.
Here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hi, Dr. Williams.
Good morning.
Pam Williams. Dr. Warnley. And Wendy Zeller. Okay. Has anybody else come in that I called before you came in that's on the committee?
Hearing none, we'll move ahead, Sally.
All right, thank you.
The first item after the roll call, thank you, everyone, for participating. Thank you, Sally, for doing that. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the January 31 meeting. They've been distributed through ADPH's share site. Any changes or corrections that need to be made to those minutes?
Andy, most everybody has already sent me their corrections, and the minutes that I sent out yesterday were with all the corrections.
All right. And hearing no objections, the minutes will stand approved as written. Thank you. Second item, old business. Sally?
Okay. I want to thank everybody because about the subcommittees. We've had a real good response rate with everybody deciding to be on a subcommittee, and I'm going to give you all a report of what progress we've made. I apologize for it taking. It took me a little bit longer than I expected it to take. We've got a total of 78 members on the committee, the whole entire healthcare sector committee. We have 9 committee advisors. Now, those advisors are just ones. Dr. Warnley is one of our advisors. John Hankins, our state nursing director, is one of our advisors, and they received the emails. And Cindy Lessinger, our pandemic influenza coordinator, they receive the emails, but they're not on the subcommittee. They're just there for advisory purposes. I only have 7 that have not selected a subcommittee. So if you have not selected a subcommittee, I've sent correspondence to everybody on the committee, and I'm working through that, but I appreciate y'all helping me with that. We found a focus, and I figure when the subcommittee groups meet, the focus of the committee will be more defined, but right as of yet, I'm going to go through each committee and give their focus as of today and how many members are on that committee, that subcommittee. I've got 11 in the education subcommittee. I've got Robbie Stubbs and David Wallace as the co-chairs of that committee. I will be working as the liaison with that committee, and we have 11 members on it. And y'all, on the agenda, you've got the subcommittee focus that this committee will be working to educate the healthcare staff, including volunteers, making sure we're standing throughout the state. The hospital surge capacity, I do not have a co-chair. we'll talk more about the co-chairs in just a minute, but I don't have a co-chair with that one yet, but Jane Reeves will be the liaison for that committee. We have 14 members on that committee. Standards of care, ethical considerations, I'll be the liaison for that committee, and I do not have a chair and co-chair for that one yet either. And I forgot, I'm sorry, hospital surge will be dealing with the hospital staffing issues, facilities, bed capacity. Standards of care, we'll be developing the triage protocols, the standards that we would deal with in pandemic conditions, and we'll be working closely with the legal department on that one. Coordination of healthcare, this committee, I've got 18 people in it, and we had talked as the leaders of the committee that we might need to look at, we kind of want to keep the committees at least closer to 10 for working purposes, so this committee's got 18 on it right now, but I'll be talking with you because some of y'all have signed up for several committees and not just one. So this one will be working with the, you know, the collaboration of the agencies, licensing boards, you know, working on the mutual agreements, the mutual aid agreements. I have 5 people in financial continuity of operations planning, and I forgot to say, I'm sorry, the coordination of health care, that's Jane Reeves is going to be the liaison for that committee. Financial continuity of operations planning, this one is very important. I only have 5 people on this one, so if anybody would like to participate in this one, we would really appreciate it. This will be working with how do we get the healthcare providers to develop their continuity of operations plan. If, you know, if we had this happen, what happened in New Orleans is a lot of the hospitals went out of business because they didn't have a financial backup plan, and also, you know, how are we going to continue operations with a 30% decrease in staff? So that's an important committee too.
Out for the rest of the week.
That's good.
Rest of the week, yeah.
Question real quick.
Yes. And also, y'all, if somebody, if you could put your phones on mute because we can hear what y'all are.
Thank you for saying that, Sally.
Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Great, thanks, Sally. This is Joel from UAB. We've got a campus pandemic influenza planning committee and a pandemic influenza task force committee. The latter is sort of in charge of, you know, hospital preparedness. The former is sort of in charge of all hazards campus-wide preparedness. Max Richard, who's the vice president of occupational health and safety at UAB, may be quite interested in participating on the business continuity committee because that's more or less what his campus pandemic influenza planning committee is sort of partly charged with, more so from the campus side. But nevertheless, I'm assuming it would be all right if we had some new members in.
Yes. Please send me his information. I'll make sure he gets a letter from Dr. Hadaway. Dr. Hadaway will get the letter out to him. And, yes, so if any of y'all know somebody that would be a wonderful addition to this, this is in the planning stages, so y'all just feel free to email me, and I will make sure that we get them set up in the committee if we need to.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Joel. Pharmacy issues, we have got 8 people on that subcommittee. Financial continuity of operations. Y'all, I apologize. I'm trying to remember everything. Financial continuity of Ann Brantley will be the liaison for that committee. Pharmacy issues, Jane Reeves will be the liaison for that committee. We have 8 people, and they'll be working with dealing with the during Katrina, like we had a lot of people that were unable to get their prescription medicines. We have Ann on ventilator advisory, and Ann Brantley will be the liaison for that committee. And this one will be working on dealing with the exactly what we'll do with all the ventilators. Medical volunteers, we have 8 people on that committee. The medical volunteers, I'll be the liaison for that committee, and we'll be working, addressing issues that deal with the Medical Reserve Corps volunteers, the American Red Cross volunteers, the public health volunteers, and the DMAT team. So, you know, working on something to combine those to help us get, you know, to where we're working together. And we have 12 physicians on the review board, And this review board will actually endorse the policy. Everything that comes out of the subcommittees will go through the review board for approval before it goes to Dr. Warnley and Dr. Williamson. The subcommittee focus, we've got the preliminary focus, but we really want the committees to actually come up with their goals and objectives of what they want to when they meet. That gives you a report on business. Is that okay, Andy? Is
that's that fine. That's wonderful. Else? Are there any questions for Sally about the subcommittee?
This is Teresa Porter. Sally?
Yes, ma'am.
One question I would like to throw out there is there a possibility as you develop these subcommittees and you have the chairs and the co-chairs that maybe we could bring us all together to meet and discuss the operations of the subcommittee and how from the state we can all work together on that?
Yes, that is a possibility, Teresa. Immediately after this call, Dr. Hathaway has developed what we've got is an abbreviated set of minutes for the subcommittees, and I'll be sending that out immediately after this call with the we've got an example of it. We've got it's basically task oriented so that we want the meetings to be productive and not waste anybody's time. We want to make sure that we're on focus and we're, you know, doing things as productively as possible. So we're working on that. As far as meeting in person, right now the organization is the biggest thing, and once we get everything organized and up and running, then I think we can start looking at maybe having a face-to-face meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sally, this is Carl. I wonder if, I know you've got a lot of people on this committee that perhaps have not necessarily been involved with ADPH in some of the natural disaster planning and structure that's gone on over the last few years. I wonder if it might be helpful at some point in time to just maybe have a group working session where we could review the incident command structure of public health as it currently exists, talk about the way that you all manage disasters currently from the sort of the area level up to the state EOC and to the 15th floor at RSA Tower. Maybe talk about the fact that Alabama is unique at this point, that we actually have a unified incident management software system that ties hospitals, community health centers, medical need shelters and nursing homes together, which is a really good leveraging tool. And I think maybe, unless everybody's really familiar with that, it might be helpful just to kind of get everybody up to speed so we're not actually reinventing the wheel, but looking at what's already in existence to see whether or not there are pieces of that that actually would be very useful for promoting healthcare response in a pandemic as well.
That's a great idea, Paul. And after the call, we'll talk. We need to get a meeting with the leaders of the committee, David, Dr. Hathaway, Jane, and Ann, to figure out how we're going to focus that and get that to where it's productive for the committee.
Carl, would you like to have that item concerning the structure, the NIM, the response structure, the Alabama Department of Public Health put on the agenda for the next conference call?
Sure, Andy. I think that's a great idea. I just, I want to make sure is that we're all, there is actually a sheet of music out there. And actually, Alabama is unique in that it's very, very well organized. Thanks to Hurricane Ivan and then Katrina, we actually are very well organized for response. So the question is, how do we build on that to optimize response for pandemics? And that'd be a great agenda item maybe for the March conference call.
I think that's a good idea. Sally?
Carl, and also a good thing, when I was in the Public Health Preparedness Summit last week, we're looking at possibly using our alert system, which is something that we've already got, to help us review the documents that are going through the committee. So we're working on, we don't want to reinvent the wheel by all means. You know, we want to try and build on what we've got. But that's a great suggestion, Carl.
Yeah, I think the January edition of the ASHTO newsletter said some really good things about public health and their structure with reference to community health centers. I can get you copies and maybe we could disseminate that. And then actually the March edition, it's not on the street yet, but the March edition of the Bioterrorism and Biosecurity Journal, actually I think Alabama is one of five programs highlighted in that as examples of disaster response. It's us, New York, and a couple of other places. So, you know, ADPH has a lot to be proud of what it's worked on over the last 4 or 5 years, and we have a good structure in place. So, and I'll try and get you a copy of that article as well. It's embargoed for the moment until it hits the streets, but it's due out early March. So as soon as I get that, I'll get that to you.
Would you mind saying for the record what ASTO, what that is the acronym for?
It is the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers, and the particular edition of their newsletter or white paper on Community Health Center's role in disaster response bears a January of 2007 publication date.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andy.
Sally, is there any additional comment about the subcommittee structure that we need to have at this point?
Well, under the discussion items, I kind of want to explain the co-chair system.
Okay.
The way that we're looking at it is we will have each subcommittee will have a co-chair that is the ADPH or Alabama Department of Public Health employee, and we'll also have a subcommittee or a co-chair that is the a hospital or outside agency co-chair. So each committee will have ADPH and an outside agency as the co-chairs. And I hope that when we start the meetings, the ones that I do not have people that have stepped up for co-chairs, so y'all think about it. If you're willing to step up and be a co-chair, I would really, really appreciate it. And I know Dr. Hadaway was wanting to talk about the focus of the subcommittee.
All right. Dr. Hadaway?
Yes, thank you, Andy and Sally. Just wanted to share with y'all a couple of thoughts. I think it would be important to go ahead and for everybody to start having a couple of calls, at least one before the next time we get together if all the subcommittees are up and running. But one thing to come up with a focus on these subcommittees is we're going to have these follow-on meetings, I think y'all have already decided, which is a good suggestion for everybody to come face-to-face. But when you're on the subcommittee meetings, I just think everybody needs to realize that there's a lot of time that could be lost on a call if it's not real focused. So I shared with Sally an idea about how to focus the calls and have active participation, collect minutes, and get them back to everybody with action items. So at the end of a call, you know quickly what actions you're going to be doing or you're responsible for before the next call and carry the conversation forward in active discussion so you don't feel like you're just sitting there not doing anything real beneficial to yourself or anybody else in participation. We want the subcommittees to feel like it's a very active committee process with results, with outcomes. So that would be part of how we see this shape. Or having calls among yourselves. And
Dr. Hadaway, you were cutting out there at the end about the last sentence. I don't think was heard.
Okay. Let me try that again. We're going to have some face-to-face meetings, but we want the subcommittees to be active groups so that by the end of the call, within 24 hours, everyone has a task that they'll report on the next call around, and that way it'll keep things moving along and very focused so people will know they're actually achieving something and having specific outputs so they don't feel like they're not getting anything productive done. And that's important for everybody. It's spending a lot of time.
Absolutely.
Andy, we've got some.
That's someone with a portable phone.
Somebody with a portable phone.
Yes. That's what that sound is.
Sally, this is
Sarah
Hallman from Virginia Medical. How many of the subcommittees have already met?
No, the subcommittees haven't. That's our order of business before
okay.
the next conference call.
Okay.
Is each one of the subcommittees will meet and give a report back in the next subcommittee or in the next big committee meeting.
Oh, okay.
But that's our order of business, and I appreciate you asking. It took me longer to get everybody, and I apologize. I did the best I could to get everybody into a subcommittee, but we just didn't have time in this month to meet before the next meeting or before the next call.
Sally, this is Andy. You're convening the meetings of the subcommittees. Is that correct?
I was hoping you would work with me to help me.
I'd be glad to. I think I was volunteering, but I'm not quite sure.
I was hoping you were volunteering.
Okay, well, you and I will talk about how to do that. All right, other new business.
The only thing is, Andy, it's like I said, as soon as this call is over, the committee members will receive an email from me, and it'll have three documents on it. Two of them are going to be PDF documents. One of them is an example of the template of the minutes that Dr. Hadaway developed. One of them is a one with the directions, and also we have the template that you can use for the subcommittee. So everybody will have those after this meeting.
Excellent. And that'll be distributed through the share process?
Actually, I'm going to send it just directly to the committee members.
Okay. Very good. Anyone have any new business they'd like to contribute at this point?
Andy, this is Carl again. One just quick observation. You did a great job of facilitating the education meeting that was up in Montgomery probably a couple of weeks ago or so. And I think it's important that there is some, at least maybe a report or observation over time as the other committees do their work and as some of the other work that you're doing kind of begins to flesh out decisions, that comes back to this healthcare sector committee. One of the things that concerns me from the healthcare side, for instance, is there's so much interdependency between, for example, a decision to close schools will put a great deal of pressure on certain employees within the healthcare sector in terms of how to manage their children and daycare and whether they come into work or not. There's some interesting testimony from nurses that went through the SARS experience in Toronto about their inability even to get babysitters or daycare workers or have other family members come babysit with their children because of fear over risk of infection, for example. So as you see opportunities to kind of cross-pollinate or report things that are going on, I think it would really be helpful because if the education subcommittee, for example, or education committee says, great, we're going to close schools when it's a pandemic level 2 or level 3, I'm not sure how we tell when we're moving from one level to the next, that process will have an impact on our healthcare sector work. And conversely, it would be good for the healthcare sector to be able to express our concerns or our issues or desires back, I think, to some of the work that the other committees are doing.
I agree, and there are a couple of things that I could share at this point from the school closing exercises that I facilitated in Montgomery and Birmingham and about to go into Mobile. I've had discussions with folks from other states as well. The trigger mechanism, the trigger events in terms of timing, the location, for example, in the continental United States, in the United States, anywhere, et cetera, that whole process is not well understood, and it suggests that more work has to be done there to clarify what that means, and that comes from Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control, and the Department of Public Health. The collateral consequences of large-scale termination of public services like schools, shopping, and so forth, that's not broadly understood. And probably the most profound thing that I've noticed is getting people to openly talk about the planning and the whole process regarding a pandemic, the consequences. I think that there is a tendency not to want to think outside of a box and believe that life as we know it would continue on a normal basis, not unlike what happens in a snowstorm or the relatively short period of time in which things are disrupted after a tornado or a major hurricane. And it's difficult to get folks to think about a long duration of an event such as a pandemic. And that's one thing that certainly will impact healthcare and is a major issue, I think, within the state and the United States and as a whole. Those are at least high-level observations at this point.
I agree, and I think what's going to happen is decisions made by other entities will have a direct impact on the healthcare sector's ability to perform our work.
Yeah.
Likewise, I think decisions made within the healthcare sector will have perhaps an impact on the other public sector and on the communities as well. So there's a real need, I think, for ongoing dialogue, and I know you're doing this series of statewide exercises, and as you get a sense of direction and scope and issues, it would sure be great to continue that dialogue back with us too, so we sort of know what's out there that might impact our ability to be successful in meeting the needs of our community.
And I think there's also an emerging difference that one can see between urban and rural areas. The rural representatives are reporting rather unanimously that the local health department will be called upon aggressively by the population for information and advice, and it won't be quite as aggressively pursued in the urban areas because there are many alternative sources of information and advice. For example, hospitals, physician practices, and so forth, that aren't as readily available in the rural communities. All right. Other new business, anyone? I'd like to remind everyone that our next conference call is scheduled for March 28th at 8:30 in the morning. Same procedure. We'll follow the same procedure, and we are, as I mentioned, some of you may not have heard this, the conference supplier that we're using would appear to have a process, if we can get the account configured correctly, where callers as they come in can announce themselves, and that will be recorded, and we can go back and play that recording to get the attendance record, as opposed to having to go through a fairly lengthy roll call for this very large group. But Sally, I'll get that information out as soon as we know whether that's feasible and that it works. We'll make a couple of practice runs at it to make certain that it works before we unleash this on everyone.
I need to add two people to the roll, Renetta Ellison and Sharon Massengale.
Thank you very much. I'll see that they get on.
By the end of this call, or after the end of this call, I will make sure that you get those documents. Our goal for the next meeting is for each subcommittee to have met.
All right.
Sally, this is Robbie Stubbs from Area 6. I joined in as well.
Okay, thanks, Robbie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that I didn't roll call in that is there?
Yeah, it's Richard Powers from the Department of Mental Health.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Richard, thank you. Sally, for the record, there are 43 attendees, these committee members that are on the conference call today.
Okay, that's right. Thank y'all so much for participating and calling in. We're working on this. Just be patient with us. We're working. This is the organizational part, and that's going to be the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you so much.
And March 28th, 2007, 8:30 in the morning.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Bye-bye.
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 From Mercy Medical. I know,
yes, ma'am.
You had mentioned there were 18 on the Coordination of Healthcare Committee.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Wherever you would, you know, if you need to move.